right, I guess we can get started. Everybody's here with the exception of Joan. She is absent. Would anybody like to adopt our agenda?
I'll adopt it. I'll second. Go to car.
Okay, good.
Good.
Two cars.
Well, in that case, we'll hold steady here for a minute because the next thing is public comments for non-agenda items, so we'll see if we have any public comments. So we'll pause momentarily. Give everybody a chance to get in the door.
I can file this now, right?
Yeah. All done. Entered and reconciled and all that fun stuff.
I don't recognize anybody, so the mess.
Must be our
anyone.
Yeah, I'm just checking. There it went.
You're right. Okay. Public comments for non-agenda items. Does anybody have any comments for items that aren't on our agenda for today? Okay. Approved minutes from regular meeting of November 14th, 2020. Don't know if everybody's read them yet or not. Whatever the board's pleasure is, if you'd like them read or if you're ready to approve them, I'm ready for a motion.
Make a motion that we adopt them.
Any opposed? Okay. Reports of officers and directors. Does anybody have anything that they would like to report on? Okay, I have a little bit of information to report on. I did have an attorney contact me. She was given our number by Marcella Vinden, which was greatly appreciated. She was a wealth of information and steered me towards a website for a homeowners association that has a list of quite a few vendors that we may want to discuss, including some that do collections, since we have a lot of these delinquent assessments. And there's it had a list of numerous companies that collect assessments. So that will be on the next agenda, since it wasn't on this one. And we can discuss how we are going to deal with those delinquent ones. Some of the companies look pretty promising. But I haven't yet contacted any of them. I did try and make contact with several other management company vendors, but nobody has gotten back to me. That is on today's agenda, so we'll get into that more when we get to that. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to report on? Okay, well, that gets us to discussion review of monthly financial reports, possible action to approve payments and expenditures. And as usual, it's a thick packet because of all the stuff that the state says that we have to review, which most of it nobody's ever going to look at because it doesn't really mean anything. But that never bothered the state before.
We got it anyway.
Yep. So we have the current reconciliation of the checking account, which was for the latest statement we had at the time, which was 11/30, which had an ending balance as of the statement date of $18,055, you can see that went up a little bit even after that with more recent deposits. And we don't have a current reconciliation of the reserve account because that's quarterly. We did the last quarter, and we should have just received or will be receiving shortly the next one because we only receive those quarterly. Current year actual operating revenues and expenses versus current year budget. So we have that spreadsheet in here. It's not going to tell us a whole heck of a lot other than what happened last year because this is a new year. So you could look at it for last year. Everything shows 100% because the budget was based on the expenses. So it really doesn't tell us anything, but we have it. The state can't say we didn't do it. That gets us to the latest operating account and reserve account bank statements. Let's see. So we don't have the reserve account statement because that one is quarterly and it hadn't come in yet. But here's the one for the checking account again, which was the one that the reconciliation is for. Let's see, and then we've got the income and expenses statement for operating and reserve accounts. So we have income by customer, which shows all the income for each lot. And then expenses by vendor for the same period, which was just under $3,000. And it was the usual expenses, Amazon for printer cartridges. We had our insurance payments, Home Depot for miscellaneous supplies, Kern County Recorder's Office for liens. Same thing with treasurer, tax collector, that was the property taxes for the roads. McMaster Car, that was for signposts for the stop signs. So that pretty much, you know, WITS, we had all that printing that we had to do to send out the annual statements.
And buy stamps.
Yep. And then following that is the check register, which shows everything from October through the end of December, which again is the same expenses plus the deposits. Then there's a general ledger, and if anybody ever has insomnia, you can look through the general ledger, because like I said, it's pretty much meaningless unless you're trying to audit the accounts. But it shows every transaction recorded. The only thing I can surmise as to why the state mandates that we print off the general ledger is in case somebody does want to audit us, then they've got it, but you know, they could ask for it too. So really it's a waste of paper.
That's right.
But of course, since it's our paper, the state doesn't care how much we waste.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last thing is delinquent assessments receivable. And that does show all the assessments that are in arrears. You know, some for the current year that haven't been paid, and then of course all the old assessments that we probably never collect. But that gives you an idea of what they all are. Does anybody have any questions on any of this fun stuff?
Is there a list of properties that are up for sale due to non-payment?
No, we don't have any. We have not foreclosed on any, mainly because if they're behind on their assessments, they're typically behind on their taxes. And if we foreclose, then we have to pay the taxes. And for a lot of these lots, they're not worth the tax bill. So it doesn't make sense for us.
Why don't watch the price of how much they owe their taxes, right?
Yeah, and a lot of them are
a few more.
A lot of them are extensive because the county has a lot of penalties when you don't pay your taxes. And so a lot of these properties have 5 to 10.
A lot of them are more than what the properties were.
Because a lot of these, the county had these properties valued real high back before 2008. And unless you contested it, they never lowered it. So they've been collecting taxes at those high rates on these properties that are abandoned for years. So some of them are $15,000 in arrears. So it doesn't make sense for us to foreclose on them because then we're liable. So would anybody like to approve the payments for the last couple months?
I'll approve.
I'll second.
I'd like to thank you for helping me with my homeowners association fee.
Got you caught up.
I really got screwed up. She wrote me a check for the taxes, and we got Mountain Valley States and taxes mixed up. And then I didn't. Then it said I didn't pay enough, and you guys worked it out. Now I got credit.
Yes, you do. On two lots.
But it helps every once in a while for us to go through and review some of these because we do make mistakes in them.
I certainly did.
Well, you sent the checks, but you didn't say how you wanted them to buy.
Right.
So we had to figure out.
And rushed and everything.
But we got it straightened out.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, that gets us to number 7, discussion and possible action adopting policy for communicable disease prevention. Even though we only have volunteers and no paid employees, the state looks at them as the same as paid employees. So the state has mandated that everybody that has employees have a COVID-19 prevention program. The one that's here for the board to consider is right out of the Department of Industrial Relations website. It's their template. And what I did is went through it and put the parts in that applied to us and put our name in where appropriate. And so that's basically what this plan is. It basically recognizes the, it actually is more than just COVID-19, it's for any communicable disease. So it just spells out the safe work practices, et cetera, along with the state mandate for mask wearing and physical distancing and all that fun stuff. We can go through it line by line if you'd like, or we can adopt it or whatever mix. If there's any questions, also included with it is all the forms that go with it, because we do have to report anytime that we have an incident of an employee coming down with COVID-19.
We're considered employees, that's what you said.
Yeah, even the board is considered employees, even though we're unpaid.
I want a raise.
We'll raise you.
Yeah.
I think we raise you.
I mean, that's why we have to carry workers' comp, even though we don't have employees. We still have to have workers' compensation insurance because they're, as far as the state's concerned, yes, they are employees, even though they're unpaid. It's just one of those things. So, what would you guys like to do with this policy?
I'd like to approve what you got there.
Well, what we do already is masks when requested.
Yeah.
This just spells it out so we can give a copy to everybody so they know what has to be done.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's even a section in here if it's not practical to wear a mask, you know, you just have to keep 6 feet apart. So it's all in here. Anybody want a second?
I will. Oh.
And I know it was pretty smooth.
Anybody opposed?
Do you mind wearing the mask? What's your preference?
If you all want the mask, we will wear a mask.
Okay, well, that's approved then. That gets us to discussion, possible action to allow our volunteers to go back to work. Because I stopped everything when we got the phone call from our insurance company advising us of all the fun rules. Our workers' comp insurance carrier wanted to make sure we were aware of all of this and make sure that we were aware of all the reporting requirements that we had to do if anybody came to us and said that they caught COVID. I read through most of that stuff, and it looks like if we have four or more volunteers that say that they contracted COVID, it's presumed to be a work-related injury at that point. If it's only one or two, it's not presumed. They have to prove it's a work-related injury. But if there's four in a workplace that come down with COVID, even though they come, who knows where they get it, it's considered a work-related injury at that point. And that's what the insurance company was wanting to make sure of. Anytime anybody says that they have COVID that works for us, then we have to notify our insurance carrier and the state. But until it hits that threshold of four, it's not presumed to be workplace related. But they can make the case. So that's why I stopped everything until the board had an opportunity for me to convey all that information and decide whether we want the liability or not. Because right now we don't have any liability. Nobody's worked in over a month, so they couldn't possibly have contracted COVID from working. So
the work crew works far apart.
Right.
Everybody's in their own little section.
I know. And we're outside.
And we're outside.
So the chances of COVID are very slim.
Right.
But with the uptick in town and stuff, if we did have four of our volunteers that had worked and came down with COVID, it would be presumed to be workplace related.
We already have, if two of them work in the same area, they wear masks.
Yeah. And that's why we needed a policy too. That way we can fall back on that.
So we're pretty
good. So it's up to the board as to what they'd like to do. The other thing that I'll interject at this point is it also made me realize that we don't have an employee manual, which we definitely need. I will start working on one ASAP. So expect that on the next agenda. Because they are employees, so we have to give them all the safety information, everything else, just like paid employees.
Free employees.
So But anyway, it's up to the board. You know, we haven't done anything for a while. It'd be nice to be able to get back to work. It's just a matter of whether or not the board feels comfortable with the liability. So.
I vote to get back to work.
Okay.
That's it.
I will take that as a motion.
And I second.
Any opposed? All right, we can go back to work.
We need to get those holds.
Yeah, we've got plenty to do. All right. Well, that gets us to the discussion and possible action regarding letter received from member regarding assessment of late fee. We have a member who is contending that they never received a statement, which statements are a courtesy. They're not. They still owe whether we give them a statement or not. And they have sent us a note back with their check stating that they refused to pay the late charge. That they said that the second statement they got with the late charge on it was the only statement they ever received. So,
but they know when.
Especially since they've owned property out here for a long time and in fact have been on the board and everything else. So it's not like they aren't aware.
It's got, that statement went to the same address it always goes to.
But we also know mail delivery has been a problem.
Yes.
And
not outgoing, it's still the income.
Yeah, outgoing is fine.
One thing I want to interject though, and this is just for information, I'm not trying to sway anybody one way or the other on this, but just for information, they paid the full amount. And we did send out the original statement stating that people could pay last year's assessment and we will accept that because of COVID. So they did pay the full amount because they apparently never got the original statement. So just to throw that out there, but that does not relieve them of responsibility because it was late, which we did not extend that once the dues were past due. They have to pay the full amount. So they do owe the full amount and the late fee, but it's up to the board whether or not that's worth the hassle.
Can I ask how much the late fees are?
The late fee would be
$17.28. I understand that, but is it that much to fight over?
That's
$17.50.
Well,
yeah. And again, they paid instead of $144, they paid the $172.80. Yeah. So they did pay, you know, $28.
So
again, this is just for you guys to think
about. You guys can vote. You know, it has to be voted on. But I treat every one of our members the same.
Yeah. We know.
They didn't pay until December 22nd. That's when they put the check on December 22nd.
Yeah.
That's already way past our late fee.
Yeah,
2 months.
It's not like we know these people. It's not like it's going to break them.
That's right.
In any way, shape, or form. And I vote to go ahead and have them.
And I'm not going to vote in this because I have enough problems. I'm going to step back from this one.
I don't want to treat anybody different, and I think they should be treated
the same. But I just wanted to lay the facts out so you guys can decide.
That's my opinion.
I've got Rita's motion, which is to assess that the late charge is due.
Yes, it is.
I agree with Rita. Okay. Because if you let them get away with it,
that's what
then everybody else will say, hey, they got on, I can put mine in late too.
No. Everybody gets treated the same.
Same
I will
people.
For that
is
too.
There a mailbox out in the rock here?
Pardon?
No. No, it's in Bakersfield.
Oh.
Okay, well, I take that as Rita made the motion, Jean seconded, and it's unanimous.
And I agree.
With my abstention. Okay, that resolves that one. So now their recourse at this point would be to ask for a hearing.
And I cannot believe
that. Which isn't going to go very far because the board's already decided, but they can have a hearing. And
I can come to the board meeting and have a hearing.
Yeah. So we will inform them of that.
The 144 was for people with a hardship.
Oh, I know.
We know these people. They do not have a hardship.
Right. Okay. That takes care of that one. So that gets us to number 10, discussion and possible action on road repairs, street signs, equipment purchases, other maintenance needs. Does anybody have anything we need to discuss on that?
I don't have a chance.
We don't have any packet for it. It's just an agenda item.
Oh,
so this is where we can, if anybody has anything they want to bring up on any of this, we can. I think we already know what we need to be doing. We just haven't been doing
that's
it because
right.
of COVID. So
we need to check on the blacktop and find out how much blacktop we have. approximately.
We've got several good scoops out here yet.
Yeah.
We've got a pretty good pile still.
Okay, but we need to look into finding out how much it is and have another batch of a bucket load brought in.
Yeah, we need a price for a load of
and we need to get
cold patch.
The tar that goes in the holes before we put the cold patch in.
And that one, I'm not too sure where we get that either.
We get it at Home Depot.
Oh. Well, yeah, but we need to start getting it in a little bit larger quantities.
Yeah. Well, we still have the ones that Pat donated. Mm-hmm. And was that 2 barrels?
There's a 3, I think, out there.
Well, then we don't have to look into it yet. We just have to wait for the sun to come out and melt it. Or soften it.
Yeah.
Which would have been great this at now, but...
And now we can get back to doing the street signs, too. We still got all those stop signs to put up.
Right, yeah.
I've got several of them out here bolted together. They're ready to go.
Yeah, they're ready. We have to decide how many need to go in first.
Right.
Eventually, they'll be on every street.
Yep. Okay.
That's mainly to protect us.
Well, now that gets us to the really good one. Number 11, discussion, possible action to retain consulting service for various association management functions. I was hoping Marcella would come with another proposal, but I did finally get one management company that would actually take the time to talk to me. There's two others that I contacted in Bakersfield, neither of which has responded. I do have a list of others that we can contact, but time is of the essence here at this point because we also have an election to get going with. And with the changes to the election rules, we are going to need help. The elections have become much more difficult thanks to our state legislature again. And like even this guy was saying, and so was the attorney I spoke with, that you know they don't differentiate. If they both mentioned they've got homeowners associations that are 4 units, and they're complaining, why do we have to do all this? Well, because the law is, you know, it doesn't care whether you're 4 or 400. Yeah. So that's why our expenses are so high. We have to do the same thing as a 400 unit complex would do. So anyway, I do have a proposal. I gave everybody a memo on this. Mr. Munson of California Association of Homeowners Associations, Inc., I spoke with him for probably about 45 minutes. And very nice conversation. We went into quite a bit of detail. And basically, they have what they call their SAMS program, which takes care of our administrative management. They send out the assessments. They collect the assessments. They do our checkbook. They do our bills. They do, you know, all that stuff. So all we do is send them receipts, and they take care of the rest. They'll also prepare minutes. They'll do all those things that we've been trying to do all this time. He said that the difficult part is trying to figure out how much to charge, because until they do it, they don't know. The number he finally came up with was $5,000 for the first year, which is less than what I anticipated. And it would be payable in 12 installments, you know, by the month, basically. Mm-hmm. Which really doesn't matter. Our assessments come in once a year. It's easier for us to pay bills once a year, but that's the way he does it, is monthly. Because basically that's more like as the service is rendered than he charges. So that's fine. In my opinion, that works just as well, especially since they can write the check to themselves, I assume. So all we have to do is approve them.
Yeah, who's going to say who's writing them?
Now we'll find out more if we go with this as to how all these transactions happen. You know, I'm assuming before they pay bills that they will ask for the board to approve them and that kind of thing.
Will they take care of the election?
They will include the cost of the election in this cost.
That's good.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a separate fee, because we were paying, when we did have that other management company helping us with elections, that was like $1,200, $1,300 just for the election.
Yeah.
So if you take that off of this $5,000, it makes it pretty cheap.
It does.
You know, and I also looked, you know, $5,000 for us to hire somebody at minimum wage to do the paperwork, They would be able to work about 4 hours a week, and that would cost us about $5,000.
That's right, at least.
So we wouldn't be able to get somebody at minimum wage to do that, and 4 hours a week would be pushing it as to whether or not they could do it in that length of time.
That's right.
So for us to pay somebody would cost us more than what this fee is.
Plus, you've got somebody that's experienced.
Exactly. They do this every single day.
It's their business.
And because they are a company that's open 5 days a week, that means that our members can get a hold of them 5 days a week. So I think it's a benefit for everybody all the way around.
I do too.
So and because time is of the essence, even though we don't have multiple bids, because nobody else wants to, these companies just aren't interested in a little operation.
We're very small.
And he said that the $5,000 for the first year, after that, he would be able to look back and see what it took them to do this, and there's every possibility it would be less in the future.
Oh, that's good.
So, anyway, that's what I have found.
I mean, even if it stays the same, it's still good.
I make a motion we accept it.
Me too.
We can't get anybody out here to vote, to volunteer to work.
Nobody, right. Yeah. They won't work. They won't come to the meetings.
And we're just about burned out.
Yeah. Well, we should have been out.
Yeah.
Several elections.
We were supposed to.
Well, I also agree. I think that we move forward with this. He said that if we're interested, he will put us together a written, proposal and contract, and that'll spell all this out, and we'll have a lot better idea of what everything is. But I think that it's exactly what we need to do.
I still make the motion we accept.
Yep, I've got it down as it's unanimous. Okay. That gets us to 12, discussion and possible action to revise and adopt election rules, begin election process. Because of the changes that the state made, we need new election rules to comply with the state's rules. And these are rules that affect the members, so these rules have to be sent to the members. We have to wait a month, then we can approve them. Plus, we need to make sure that they are compliant with our bylaws, that they're compliant with our CCRs, and they're compliant with state law. Now, Marcella did talk to an attorney that she works with, and gave her our contact information. That attorney did call me, and we had a real nice conversation. And in fact, it's going to be on a future agenda that we talk about changing attorneys, because I was very impressed. But anyway, she said that her firm has done numerous of these, election rules, and that they have a flat fee for doing the election rules. They will basically take the election rules they've already written, make sure they're compliant with our bylaws and CCRs, and modify them if needed, and then they will provide them to us for acceptance. And that flat fee is
$400. Oh, that's not good.
That, to me, is a bargain.
Yes.
I can write election rules again, and we can hope that they comply with everything.
For $400,
we have, these are done by an attorney, and they're compliant with everything, and if not, then they can defend them.
Yeah, so many changes and stuff.
So if anybody would like to approve,
I'll make a motion
and I'll second it.
Okay, and then I will contact them and have them provide us with rules. Any opposed?
Well, what makes us different from other homeowners association?
We're little.
We're small. That's the biggest thing.
We can't just a smaller.
No, there's some smaller.
No, as far as the rules go, the problem is that they have to. Every homeowner association has their own bylaws and their own CCRs.
Oh.
And so the rules have to comply with what the bylaws or CCRs have in them.
Specific group.
And it's possible that we may have to change our bylaws to comply with state law. CCRs are very, very, very difficult to change, with the exception of if the law CCRs do not comply with current law. If they don't comply with current law, the board can change them. Otherwise, it takes 75% of the members to approve a change and 100% of all lien holders. So everybody's mortgage company has to approve to change CCRs. It's impossible to change them.
I was hoping the state would have a little baseline.
If there's an easy way,
the state will not do it.
We've done our election rules in the past, but We do the best we can with them, but they're just under much greater scrutiny with the state now. And this way, we have a law firm. If the law firm writes them for us, then they can defend them. If we write them, we have to find an attorney willing to defend them. So,
we really need the attorney.
Yeah, this just makes it a whole lot cleaner.
And safer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's unanimous, so I will contact the attorney and let her know that we would like to avail their services for the rules. And like I said, we'll put it on a future agenda because I think we want to discuss possibly changing attorneys as well, because she was very, very up to date on the HOA issues. Okay, so that gets us. Go ahead.
I didn't say anything. No.
Discussion and possible action setting time and place for regular meetings of the board of directors. And I put that on there since it's a new year. Do we want to continue meeting on the second Saturday? Do we want to continue meeting at 9 a.m.? Do we want to go to quarterly meetings instead of monthly? What is the board's pleasure at this time? Or do we just want to not do anything and keep them the same as they've been?
I think we need to keep them for a while until the management company takes
them. That's right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And then we can leave this as no action and we'll keep them the same as they were until we decide different.
Until later.
No action until we find out how much we really do need to do.
Well, believe it or not, that brings us to a request for future agenda items. I have on here changing banks because Union Bank is closing their Tashby branch. However, we may not need to do that with the management company because I'm not sure how they do this. I would assume that they put everything in an escrow account, but I don't know. So we'll have to discuss with them, or they may have a preferred bank that we deal with because they're going to be making the deposits, and et cetera. So we'll find out more on that.
Yeah.
But that's why I've got it down for a future agenda. We'll put it on here because by then hopefully we'll know.
Right.
I also have for our next agenda to discuss collections again, especially in light of these companies. I'll see about getting some more information. The information I do have, let's see, is that what I think I put in here for you guys?
Yeah.
Assessment collection services?
Yep, yeah, that's them.
Yeah, got a lot of reading to do.
Yep. So I'll put that on a future agenda. And also, it's January, we need to adopt a budget. So we will start work on that, but again, I'm not going to get in too big a hurry because I think this management company will do that for us.
They're trying.
So.
Well, we have to.
We need a budget.
When we want to do something, we have to ask them for the money?
No, we will tell them to pay it.
Our budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I tell them.
What about our credit cards?
We'll tell them to write the check. And we'll still have our credit cards so that we'll be able to do our day-to-day stuff. The budget, the primary reason for the budget is to give us authority to spend money without having to have a board meeting just to spend $10 at Home Depot.
Yeah.
We need a budget so that as long as we're within our budgeted allocation, we can move forward and get it done.
Okay. Well, whatever bank they have, I assume they will send us credit cards.
Well, we'll probably keep the Union Bank credit card. We don't have to go to the bank for that.
When the Union Bank's gone. Oh, I get it.
No, they're not gone. Yeah. They're just closing this branch.
Oh.
Okay. So the credit card will change.
Yeah.
This branch doesn't do credit cards anyway. It's probably Bank of Omaha because they do most of them.
Yeah. Okay, then I have another question.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be putting money in savings, and I have held off doing that, not knowing what we were going to do about the banks. So do you want me to go ahead and put money? We're supposed to, keep $5,000 in the checking account?
Right, and take the excess and move it over. I would go ahead and move it over. We might get a nickel's worth of interest out of it.
That's about it, too.
Well, of course, we're going to have inflation pretty soon, so our interest rates are going to go way up, so we'll start making money on it. Of course, the money won't be worth anything, but...
There's nothing back on that
money.
Well, I just wanted to be sure, so I will go ahead and...
What, the Civil War's coming up?
Yeah.
Anything else anybody can think of for our next agenda?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, well, I can entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will second it.
It only takes a first. And we did fast. I thought it was going to be a long meeting.
Yeah, I did too.
So did I.
But we got through everything pretty quick.
Good. Yeah.
That means our next...
We're all in agreement, so...
Our next meeting will be February 13th.
Right.
That's my birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday, a month early.
Yeah.
Mine's the 19th.
Oh, happy birthday.
Right on.
Well, we appreciate you coming.
You know, very much about, and I mentioned to you that about the mailboxes.
Right.
I can set up a surveillance equipment if you'd like.
Well, I think it's not a
people won't be involved.
Yeah, the association can't do anything other than roads.
Okay.
The only exception.
I'll do it as a hobby. Okay.
The association put one of the mailboxes there, but that was because we had no place to receive mail other than in town. So that's part of the management of the association. So that's why the association was able to put a mailbox in. But other than that, the association's limited to administering the association and maintaining roads.
Okay.
And that's as far as we can go.
I'll just do something as a hobby and then you won't be involved, okay?
Yeah, no, that's no problem.
Years ago, we
have special operations with the U.S.
Nobody has any issues
with
it.
Retired, by the way.
Yeah. I can tell you that you can't put it on the telephone.